Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
Happy Monday.
I just felt like singing.
Everything about it is appealing, Mike.
Everything, what's the next lyric?
That traffic will allow.
Everything the traffic will allow. Sometimes it's
nowhere
stealing.
Can you get that special feeling.
The feeling when you are stealing an extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low.
Hear,
is
hear.
Is that the truest? I mean, no matter what we go through, we come in and we do the show.
Hell
because
yeah.
because we love to do the show, and it's wonderful. Now, on today's show, we've got a special show lined up for you today. We'll be joined by Mark Fisher, senior editor at the Washington Post, who was responsible for breaking the story about Donald Trump being his own publicist. I normally would not have anything that was related to politics unless it fell squarely into the funny category.
Well, it's entertainment.
It is.
And it is total entertainment. I still cannot laugh. I don't stop laughing when I hear that story. It's just funny.
Well, you like when people do voices.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I did an audition over the weekend for, I think, the Sundance Channel.
Really?
Thank you, Jude Walker, for that, as Donald Trump.
Where it's good.
Good.
It was all movies about making America great again. Haven't heard back from Dude. Haven't heard from Dude's agent. So I guess I didn't get the gig. But it was nice to audition as Donald Trump. It was nice.
It
was nice to do that. But before we do anything, we will meet the intern later. We have a new intern from George Mason University. We will do that. And then lots more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. But we want to lead today right out of the gate. Because I'll forget it if we don't.
Yeah, we got
that. One of our finest advertisers is Blue Apron. Look what I've got in my hand. I've got 10 recipes because we eat Blue Apron every week in the O'Mara household. And I'm really happy to say that Oscar decided to jump on the bandwagon for his mamo. And he got his mother Blue Apron. Oscar came, I'm not kidding you, Oscar came in 2 minutes ago and said, oh, by the way, I got Blue Apron for my mom. And then he mentioned Shannon, and I pictured them in the kitchen. And I just said, we have to start with that. We have to lay that out there. So you got the big box of Blue Apron.
Mike, as you know, East and West Germany, they reunited, right?
The wall is down.
The wall came down.
Your fiance and your mother are getting along
better.
Yes,
my mom is East Germany. Shannon is West Germany. All right?
Right. Right.
So at one point there was...
Should we read into that?
No, I can read into it. It makes
total
sense to me.
Old
school, new school.
Yeah.
You know, lack of plumbing, new plumbing.
Yes.
Lines for toilet paper, no lines for toilet paper. You know, it makes total sense.
Big fan of David Hasselhoff, not a big fan of David Hasselhoff.
No, see, that's not related.
Now we're talking.
They would both be fans of David Hasselhoff, you see. It's basically the Soviet Union and the non-Soviet Union.
Yes.
You know,
thank you, Mike. Thank you for translating.
I'll
say this, that I thought that the Berlin Wall had fell, I would say, this past Friday when I went back home after class instead of staying at the hotel. And I saw my wonderful fiance, and I saw my mom hanging out, talking in the same room, not hiding from each other with closed doors, and that glow of light coming from the bottom of the door, knowing that somebody's in there, but they don't want to be with anybody else.
Like a horror movie.
It's when Oscar goes up, knocks on his own bedroom door, and you hear from the other side,
"Who is it?"
"It's me, Oscar." "Oh, okay, you can come in."
It's Oscar. "Are you alone?"
It's like you've mic'd the house. Or sometimes Oscar sees both glows of the doors and he goes into another bedroom and says, "I'm going to bed."
Starts his third glow.
"Not dealing with this." Going to bed, don't want to hear about it. So
it's sad.
Last night, Sunday night, I went back to school on Sunday afternoon and arrived at home around 7:30. And I had left the house in the morning, I want to say roughly at 8:25 a.m. So I didn't get a chance to see anyone, right? And I get home, and I see that my mom had received her box of Blue Apron meals.
Now, you arranged for the Blue Apron.
I arranged for it. My brother paid for it.
But was it kind of a peace offering?
It wasn't a peace offering, what I noticed. And I, you know, regardless of your living arrangements, go and see your parents sometime for an extended period of time. You're going to notice things that they don't notice. And I noticed that my mom was not eating as healthy as she should be eating.
A great example of that would be our friend Patton, who when he comes home, notices that his parents, and I love it when he posts a video about this to his friends, that his parents have a loud TV on in every room of the house. And he did a video of it one time where I unhinged my jaw laughing because it's so funny. Yeah, and you're an outsider looking in, and it drives him insane when he sees this. So you observe different things.
So I observe that while she can cook, she's just a master chef. She doesn't have time she doesn't give herself time to cook a decent meal anymore.
And you know
this
what?
This is your mom.
This is my mom.
Probably right? Because there's no audience for
There's no audience. My dad's away.
Right.
Her idea of a healthy takeout meal because the wonderful people from Hunan Delight make it is orange chicken, right?
Mm, that's what she eats.
That's the on the regular. She's like, oh, I'm tired. Order Chinese. So it becomes a whole thing. I realize that my mom gained a few lbs. Probably not good for her vertebrae. So let's work on reducing that risk by getting her some Blue Apron, right?
Yeah, and good idea. Blue Apron is one of the great things about it is it's like 600 to 800 calories for Blue Apron meals.
Portion so control,
It's not, and also I think
it's
they
great.
Eat healthy.
It's good food. It is. Healthy.
I've eaten more kale with Blue Apron than any other time in my entire life.
So,
because they use it in a variety of ways. It's great.
The box arrives. Sometimes there's two meals and three meals, as we know here on the show. And this box happened to have three meals. And my mom didn't know what it was. So she just saw my name on there, and she left it in the kitchen. So and
which
she
is
just,
okay,
which is fine.
Because it is because
she thought
it's
it was a package for her son.
It's got the cooling elements in there where it can stay fresh for a good long time, so it's okay for a while.
Yes. So Shannon comes home for wherever she was, and Shannon says, "Oh wow!" And I had mentioned in passing, I think walking out there, I said, "Hey, there might be a package coming." Jose picked up Blue Apron for Mom. I ordered it. It's coming in, right? And she goes, "Okay, cool." So when Shannon starts opening the box up, because she knew what it was, my mom had walked down. Like, I'm getting this all secondhand, right?
Sure.
Because when I walked in the house, there was not one, not two, but all three meals of the Blue Apron pre-cooked. My mom had cooked through all of them. Just a quick heads up.
Now, that can be done. That I'm trying to be charitable here. That can be done, but the primary MO is you take the raw materials, the ingredients for each meal, you put it in the refrigerator, then you cook the meal fresh.
On demand when you want, when you need it, right?
She cooked all three of them.
So Shannon's
going to be tough to keep it hot for 3 days.
Well, you can put it in like Tupperware or something like that.
Shannon was opening and unpacking the meals as she would in our place.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom comes, she goes, "That's Oscar's. Eso es de Oscar." Like, not, it said Oscar Ceballos, not Shannon. My mom's, first she's telling my wonderful fiance that's my package. Why is she opening my package? Yeah,
she's
right?
Defending her boy.
So, two. Okay.
I don't know if that thaw has taken hold. I don't know if that little wall has really come down.
You know,
all the
they
way
might not
yet.
Have. They might not have knocked the wall down. Yeah. Maybe they just unlocked the door.
They unlocked one door. I think
it's not like even the gate, Mike. It's just the door.
So
maybe not getting
East
along
Germany's
all that well.
Now saying, "Why are you not pledging your honor and your allegiance to Mother Russia?" And Shannon is saying, "No, we can do things now."
That's Vladimir Putin's Blue Apron.
This is the way to go. And Shannon says, she goes, "I'm sorry." She goes, "These are the meals that Oscar and Jose, and technically my sister, though she doesn't get involved, Tatiana, bought for you. And she goes,
"So you can have the pleasure of cooking, which you like to
she
do,
goes,
only it's easy.
I'll show you how to do it." This is where Shannon goes, West Germany goes wrong, right?
No.
This is where they overstep. She goes, "I can show you how to do it." And my mom, at this point, you don't show Mama Santana how to do anything.
You don't. You certainly don't volunteer by saying,
"Not in her house."
I'm
going to
show
kitchen,
you how to
right?
do this, right?
But I would. Here's what I. When I'm hearing this, Oscar. Here's what I'm thinking is going to work.
Yes.
This the pictures because suddenly whatever any
English,
there won't be
Spanish,
any,
Arabic, pictures.
The pictures weren't the little ingredients and in how you do everything, and that's cool, and she gets that. So where did it go from there when she opened
So my mom opens up, and she's like, ooh, she's all excited. She's a foodie as well. And
how did she react?
Ooh, I just meal, right? So
El Kale.
Shannon Mosey's on over to the kitchen because the kitchen island and just like any other kitchen. It's an open concept for their house, right?
Right.
So she's now watching my mom, and my mom is continuing to talk to herself about, no one comes into this house and tells me what to do. Oh, look at the kale. Oh, look at the pork. Oh, look at the chicken. I can't believe she told me that she'd teach me how to cook. I can't. And so she's saying all these things as she's excited and then sad and then mad and excited, and like a manic state.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon is texting me at this point, but I'm not understanding what she's telling me because I'm in the middle of a study session at school. And so I arrive home. I figured something was going on. And I come in, and as I mentioned earlier, my mom's cooking all three meals. And I said, Mom, I see you got the meals, but you don't have to cook them all right away. And she goes, well, Chess, I need to cook them all right away. I don't have time. I said, no. It's meant to be when, if you come home on Wednesday and you're hungry, here you go, right?
What's it, like 40 minutes or less, right?
Yes.
It's that, yeah.
Mike, she had been cooking because she wanted to show Shannon she could do everything by herself. She didn't cook because she didn't have time. What I figured out in the conversation is that she was going to show Shannon that she didn't need her help for any of the three meals. And she showed her by cooking all three meals, which, by the way, none of us are going to be there for the rest of the week because we're moving out yesterday.
Gone.
Right?
Congratulations. That's good news.
And then I said, Mom, I'm closing on the house tomorrow at 11. Like, who's going to eat all those food? She goes, oh, you leaving? And I say, I told you this 2 days ago when I heard. She goes, it's fine. She goes, I want to cook for me. It's just for me. And then she like, it's this foreign trade thing that she's like, looked at me, showed me the dish, and then took it away. What she thought she was doing was preparing lunch for us.
Okay.
She thought she was going to prepare a meal for us the next. She didn't understand what was happening.
Yes.
She foreigned it up and went straight for the three meals.
Foreigned it up, Mike.
And she then, foreigned it up.
And Amen. Then her ego got in the way. And then she asked me this. She goes, on Tuesday, do another three meals come? And I said, Mom, you're out of control. Sundays is when the box arrives. Hopefully you'll get it in by sundown. And then you can do whatever you want with them.
Daddy, did she wrap them up? Did she put them in Tupperware? Put them aside? Will she enjoy the meals?
My mom has the stomach of a foreigner, so she could do whatever she wanted with those meals.
So they're still on the kitchen counter.
They're still good to go.
That's awesome.
But,
I like that.
But that being said, I know today she took it to work for lunch, and she'll have a nice dinner. So we went from a nice sesame seed chicken to a nice pork for today. And I think on Tuesday.
Oh, you got the pork. I had the pork over there.
Oh, there you go, Mike.
Did you have the pork with the potatoes?
I could have had the pork with the potatoes and the sesame seed. I had a choice yesterday. It was a buffet of
a
choices.
A buffet in the house.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
It's like going to Golden Corral.
Well, maybe sometime in the next week we can have Larry King call your mother and say, hello, Mrs. Zabayas, please put away the food into the refrigerator. Start the show, Rob.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, you can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
There was this big ad campaign in the subways last summer for babies. Did you see it? Not like selling them, but taking better care of them. And there was this one, and it said, never shake a baby. You're just like, how am I supposed to have fun with them? You know, or like, what if they're judging you? They didn't think it through. And there's another one. It says, it's safest to let them sleep alone, especially if you drink, use drugs, or are overweight. Yeah, I thought that was weird too, but if you think about it, if you're drunk, stoned, or really fat in the middle of the night, that baby might look delicious. Weirder things, I'll be honest with you guys. When I'm drunk, there's no accounting for me. I do, but you know what the worst part about my drinking is? When I'm drunk, I slur. You know, like I say racial slurs, and wow, nobody likes that at a barbecue, but No, I really am. I'm cool with all races, all religions, except for some of you. And
it's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Power 105 WLB. Oh, sorry. You did the extra long edit, didn't you?
Well, no, I think this is the album cut as opposed to the single. Sorry about
album
that.
Album cut, Power 105 WAVA!
Whoa!
Coming to you live from the Cappy Viper Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast for the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. You can call us anytime and we may answer you. 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Our show today is brought to you by AT&T Digital Life. Have you ever left your house in a rush and later thought, did I lock the front door? Did I turn off the iron? Or is the garage door open? I'll be honest, down here in Florida, 2 years ago, we had a person that hopped a fence, popped in, went into the car, which happened to be open, and the car had a garage door opener, and he popped in, and one of the garage doors was open in the community. And the inside door to the house was open, too. So with that garage door open, he popped in and helped himself to some stuff and got away with it.
Whoa.
So, you know, you got to be worried and you got to be paying attention.
Vigilant.
And what if you could forget about all the what-ifs? You can do it. AT&T Digital Life means you can be more in control of your home, even when you're away. AT&T Digital Life is smart home security. Do your kids forget their house key? Have they ever done that? You can unlock your door remotely from your smartphone using the Digital Life app. Or check on your pets with the indoor camera. Even adjust your thermostat on the go. So much more. It's incredible technology. It's going to be great for you. Face it, we're all control freaks. So stay in control with AT&T Digital Life. You can enjoy more freedom, convenience, and flexibility with a safer, smarter home. Learn more at att.com/DLTMOS. That's att.com/DLTMOS. Get AT&T Digital Life and stop asking what if.
Available in limited areas in select markets. 2-year security agreement. Required camera door and thermostat functions. Each require a separate package and agreement. Early termination equipment and other fees. Monthly service and other charges and restrictions apply. See att.com/DL disclaimers for details, including license information.
All right. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
That was a good cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed the button, but now go ahead. You bet. How you doing, Rob? How's it going?
Horrible, Mike. I hope I don't ruin the show today.
Has that not been his mindset for the last, like, 3 weeks?
That's it in a nutshell. You got to come in as a winner.
Horrible. I hope I don't destroy the show.
As a winner.
No.
What do we do to build you back up? I feel like we're tearing you down.
No.
I feel like we're running you down.
I feel bad that I missed the button. That's all.
Don't feel bad. You got to shake it off.
Okay, better. Ready to go.
He's ready, Mike.
Ready. You bet. He doesn't like the spotlight on him. Hey, it could be worse. He could be Rofo, right?
Oh, my God.
I know.
M-I-A.
Yeah. Now, hey, I have a new impression. Can I do my impression of Rofo?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I'm going to have new Tony Perkins promos for you before tomorrow's show.
And what happens then?
That's the dead silence is part of the impression because the promos don't come.
All right, so today
we'll have a classic best of Tony Perkins promo.
Yeah. No, we won't. Don't play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
if he doesn't do his job,
why would you play it?
Well, we still need to promote the show.
I agree.
Don't promote the show.
I think we're promoting it right now by talking about it.
Sure, we're promoting the show.
Where has he been? What is it? Why is he
absent?
Oscar theorized last week that because we did all that chat
like,
about his girlfriend.
Don't throw me under the bus.
Well, no, you were just a theory. I agree with it. I haven't seen him in the studio.
This is a classified conversation.
I think it's a very valid theory.
Let's unclassify.
Yes.
Let me get into this.
Well, guess what?
Need to know basis.
I think we really should. Get him on the show and we should talk to him. But I've mismanaged the time right now.
Oh, okay.
So I think what I want to do is we have when is Mr. Fisher scheduled? Moments from now?
Moments from now, yes.
All right. We want to talk to Mark Fisher. Just as far as Rofo is concerned, if we can just button this up, he still produces the Tony Perkins show, right?
Yes, he does. As a matter, he does a fine job. His efforts on the Dick Cavett show were exemplary.
When was the last time he actually stopped by our studio while we were doing the show?
I think he was briefly in to do some editing because he would use the studio, right?
Right. At he times, likes the office space.
The office space would work briefly one time. And the crux of this, and we mentioned it here on the program, Mike, when Rofo stopped being part of the Mike O'Mara Show crew was when he came into studio and you were off that day, but he opened his heart up and said, yes, I've gone back with the Dream Killer.
Yeah. And he jumped in with both feet when he was still really entrenched and big.
Yes.
Big TMOS when he revealed the breakup.
Yeah. So the breakup, we were his girl. We were his friend. We were still buddies when they broke up. But
right.
When they got back together. Just say,
if you heard so that much. Show when he was talking about that, yes, hysterically funny.
Yeah.
You know, Oscar has walked the misogyny tightrope most of his adult life.
It wasn't even full of misogyny. It was the reality.
Oh, my God. You see, that's why you're a misogynist, because you don't know it was filled mm-hmm. right. with misogyny.
I thought it was sage advice.
When he was talking, I would never, there's no way, I've done a lot, and I've opened myself up to ridicule many, many times. I have never, ever spoken about a significant other in my life.
Well, there are lawyers involved, Mike. You couldn't.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Hey, why is that alarm going off so much right there? What is? Stop it. Turn that off. Turn that off. Not that he was right.
I used to listen.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember.
Maybe you're right. No, but
that was the litigious alarm, not to be confused with the misogyny alarm.
But during the courtship phase, during the, what I took away, if you're doing that, first of all, you are done with that relationship.
Yeah.
You have no, the way he spoke
scorched
on the show,
earth.
Oh, you have no interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have no interest whatsoever. Yeah. He was very open, very honest, but to be that open and honest, you're throwing that relationship away if she hears it. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. And then I hear they get back together, and then after that, he doesn't come around anymore.
Well,
and the theory that Oscar has is because his girlfriend doesn't want him coming on the show anymore.
If
that's the
A,
way it is.
Then B. If it's not the truth, it is certainly coincidental.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want you going on that show anymore.
For her, that shows incredibly good judgment.
Mm-hmm. And also a certain amount of control freakishness.
No, I disagree. If she heard that show and she heard what he said, which was highly entertaining.
It was.
I wouldn't. If I spoke about a significant other, if I talked about Carla the way he talked about that lady, it would be, you know, she's like, I never want you doing that again. And I never want. I mean, it seems to me.
But what
are
if
they
he
still back together?
What if he countered with, but that is my passion and that is what I love. And you know what? It really is. That's
really,
what he
well,
has
it
to
is.
Do.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know. You know, the only person that's going to be able to answer these questions is Robert Ford himself.
Key to that's this, it. And I've said it before, Dream Killer. The man had a dream, and then he met her, and the dream has changed.
Now, what was his dream that he had? What
to
was
be
his
in
dream?
Broadcasting, to host his own show.
Yeah.
So
to
you
work
think,
hard.
Now, see, this is another one of the... we call this Oscar Santana's Book of Misogyny, that women can kill dreams for men that have goals.
So, he was making sacrifices.
He was.
So he's not doing that anymore.
Well, he's making
saying.
Sacrifices for other goals that she's into.
Yes.
Mainly her.
biological choices. He's making biological choices.
So they are back together. He is now on the Tony Perkins show, where I guess they, you know, they probably have a warmer environment
for his
relationship.
Well, yeah,
because
the demand is so much... I mean, there's no demand. I'll see you every other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hesitate to do this. I don't want to use the word hate. Too strong. But is there a chance that we could perhaps book Rofo or arrange for him, you know, with his incredibly busy schedule when he's not stacking furniture or whatever the hell he's doing?
I called him 2 weeks ago because I'm not a complete a-hole. I said, hey, man, I'm just calling to check in. Is everything good? He goes, yeah, I've been really busy with work. And I didn't even want to get in because it was going to be disappointing me. He was going to tell me his work was going to be A, moving furniture around, B, editing a few podcasts, and really C, but a big C, spending time with his girlfriend.
Yeah, hit the alarm again, for God's sake. All right, the fact is we got to get him in. We got to get him in on the show.
We do.
I miss you, Rofo.
We miss him. We miss him. Yeah. And let's be transparent. Tell him we want to find out where his head's at.
I think we know.
And we'll find. Yeah, yes, it's up somewhere, isn't it? But anyway, all right, let's take a break. The article last week that made national headlines got two full news cycles in the national media. Got a sketch on Saturday Night Live based on it. Really broke incredibly hugely across the country.
And
was,
funny. And funny.
Very, very funny. Presented by the Washington Post about Donald Trump being his own publicist. The guy that broke the story, along with another gentleman from the Post, is Mark Fisher. We'll talk to Mark Fisher right here on the Mike O'Mara Show coming up next.
Hello there, I'm Rob Spiewak.
And I'm Katie Von Herman.
There's a brand new Cake and Cookies that involves Katie traveling. You're going to want to check this out because not only does she go to the beach, but she gets a brand new mouth guard and travels all the way back to seventh grade.
The beach was awesome. Seventh grade was awful.
Not only did she revisit adolescence, now she can't even say it.
Adolescence.
Do it again.
Adolescence.
Much better.
Did I whistle?
Katie talking much like this show, a work in progress, but check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's Cake and Cookies. Hey, what's my last name?
Spiewak.
Cake and Cookies. Rob.
Is that...
and Katie.
And Katie.
It's the Rob and Katie
okay.
Show.
Okay. All right. Is it the jaw thing that...
yeah, she had to get a new mouth guard, and it's much bigger than her last mouth guard, and when she wears it, she truly cannot talk.
Oh, man, that'd be worth a whole podcast right there. Check out Cake and Cookies on the More Network. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's talk money. The truth is that sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little extra, and banks don't always make it fast or easy. I will tell you who does. Avant. Finally, there's a company that gets it. Sometimes average folks like you and me, you just need a little extra money. Everybody wants to get the home repair, wants to get the down payment that they don't have. You don't have it sometimes, and Avant comes to the rescue. Avant will provide access to unsecured personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever setting foot in a branch. You simply go to AvantOffer.com and check your competitive rate. Checking your rate is risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Complete your application in minutes, literally minutes, literally. And the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through AvantOffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to AvantOffer.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's AvantOffer.com, promo code TMOS, AvantOffer.com, and TMOS. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited by ACH for delivery next business day, approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, and now let's bring on Mr. Mark Fisher. He is a senior editor at the Washington Post, and the big story last week was Donald Trump with the name John Miller posing as a publicist. It was very funny. Hey, Mark Fisher, Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you, my friend?
Very well, and you?
Doing well. Long time no chat. Always good to have a guy who is as old as I am on the show. And
rare opportunity.
Rare opportunity. Seems like everybody's getting younger, Mark. The big story, Donald Trump allegedly calling reporters in the 80s and 90s using a fake name. One reporter was Susan Carswell from People Magazine, and the reason we have you on the show today to talk about this is because this does not fall into the same category of all the other political stuff. This falls into the category of funny. I will be honest with you, Mark. I could not hear this story or listen to those tapes without laughing out loud, and it got a couple of news cycles. Were you surprised? You probably have a sense of these things, being at it as long as you have with the Post. Did you have a sense that this was going to be pretty significant and last a couple of news cycles last week?
Yeah, we had a sense that at least the recording would go viral. You know, this story of Trump masquerading as other people and as his own PR person, that's been out there for 25, 35 years because he used to do this quite routinely. He would call reporters and editors in New York, and speaking in his very distinctive Donald Trump voice, he would say all sorts of wonderful things about all these women who were pining for Donald Trump. And it became kind of a running joke among those reporters and editors, and some of them wrote about it back in the mid-'80s. You could actually go back and find some of the original pieces. So this was no secret. The big difference maker here was getting the recording, because it's one thing to read about a guy who is doing something dishonest. It's another thing to actually hear the creepiness of him pretending to be someone else and going on and on about what a babe magnet Donald Trump Brooklyn.
Well, I want to ask you, and I want to start with that, because I'll start by asking you about, and you probably can't answer one way or the other, because you got to protect your sources, but from the article, the Post obtained the recording from a source who provided it on the condition of anonymity. Carswell, Susan Carswell, who was the writer for People, shared the microcassette of the call with this source shortly after the interview. Now, Susan Carswell has been on some national programs stating that her theory is that Trump may have provided the tapes to you guys. I don't know whether you can confirm or deny that.
I can categorically deny that. That is just utterly absurd. I mean, it doesn't make the slightest bit of sense. Why would he hand out a recording that makes him appear to be dishonest and on which he sounds somewhat disturbed? No, that did not happen. What happened is we had done this reporting on his use of the names John Barron and John Miller in phone calls to reporters. We had already spoken to a bunch of reporters and editors from that time in New York. We'd also spoken to several high-ranking Trump Organization former executives who said they were in the office or right outside Trump's office when he was making those calls as John Barron, and they heard it. So we had all of that in the book that we're writing, the biography that we're writing of Donald Trump, and that was ready to go.
There's a scoop. I didn't even know that. You're writing a bio about Donald Trump. Is it going to come out before the election?
Yeah, August 23rd. Trump revealed, and it is a project of the Washington Post with Scribner's, and we have 24 Washington Post reporters who are exploring every aspect of his life, from where his ancestors grew up in Germany and Scotland. We sent reporters there to write about the immigration story of this family, all the way up through his Atlantic City years. We sent reporters to probe the finances of his casino operations in New Jersey and their collapse and everything in between. And so that's where we stumbled upon this story of him as John Barron, and we were exploring that. And then all of a sudden I got a call last Monday from an old friend from college who said, hey, I know you're working on this project. Would you be interested in a recording showing Donald Trump masquerading as his own PR guy?
And wow.
I said, being a crackerjack reporter, I said, yes. I would be interested in such a report.
Oh, this is so great, Mark. This is interesting when you talk about this. Hey, were you in on the 44-minute call with the Post last week where Trump hung up?
That was two of our other reporters who were working on that Atlantic City part of the story, and they were talking to him about his finances, and in that weird Trump way, he was at once extremely cooperative and forthcoming, and going through all the finances with them in detail, and then he could get very upset about things, and he ended up hanging up on them when they asked about this John Miller story.
And when he was on, I heard the live interview on the Today Show when they, when they called him on that, and it kind of started out with a denial, and then he came back on, and it started out where he didn't know it, he wasn't sure, and then it was like somebody was in his ear saying, that was not me, categorically. It just, I don't know. When you said, well, why would he do that? Have you ever seen anything like this campaign? I don't know whether I'm being played or manipulated. I mean, you talk about these things that happen with Donald Trump, but you see certainly among his base that his numbers continue to go up. Mm-hmm. And now if you believe recent polls, the polls between Clinton and Trump get closer and closer. I've never seen anything like this. Teflon, they used to call, the Don, the Teflon Don. But the fact is, this guy, nothing sticks. There's nothing that seems to stop the momentum.
Right, because everything that would the ordinary rules absolutely don't apply, because there have been at least 20 things that he's done or said in the last year that would have been disqualifying for a traditional politician. But the reason people are supporting him in good part is because he does not play by the rules. And so right. When he says things that aren't quite true, or when he says things that are completely outrageous, that becomes evidence that he is not one of them. therefore it helps him rather than it hurts him. And he's keenly aware of this, and he's really struggling now trying to figure out, how do I become a more plausible presidential candidate who's acceptable to all of the kinds of people who you would actually have to work with as president, while not sending the message to his loyalists that he's betraying them. And that is a very difficult conundrum that he has right now. And so you see him kind of stumbling around. He wants to reel back the things he said about banning Muslims, and he wants to reel back the things he said about different kinds of people, women and minorities and so on, and he doesn't quite know how to do it. So you see him on the same day lately saying one thing and then saying sort of the opposite. And it's going to be very interesting to watch that play out in the next couple months.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Since you are writing and you're involved in the writing of this biography, obviously you're very in tune with Trump as a guy and his personality. Do you think, and this is a thought that I've heard several people echo, do you think when he announced his candidacy, do you think that Trump thought he would go this far?
No. So we've spoken to several people around him who were in on those early conversations, and what they tell us is that he initially thought he would shake things up. He would force the conversation towards some of the issues that he had been upset about and concerned about, and he thought he could be a bit of a wild card, mm-hmm. but he just did not have the sense that he could blow through that whole field of 17 candidates. And there was a moment of realization, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, where you know they woke up and they said, "Oh my gosh, we're going to win this thing."
Yeah, it's happening.
And it's happening. And that came as a considerable shock to them. And you know, you saw that moment where he said, "Oh, we've got to get some people in here who know how to do this." And so they started hiring some more traditional political types. But it is still a seat of the pants operation. I mean, the press operation for the Trump campaign consists of one, maybe one and a half people, whereas in any other campaign of that size, it would be dozens of people. Mm-hmm. And so they are still trying to operate as if it's just Donald in his office with a couple of assistants, the way he does incredible. Everything else.
Absolutely, and incredible. I'm stunned by this. We're talking with senior editor at the Washington Post, Mark Fisher. By the way, full disclosure, Mark Fisher for years wrote a column called The Listener that said both good things and bad things about yours truly. But just want to make sure that we're on the record. He also wrote about a million other things at the Washington Post. Probably one of the most widely, you know, you covered more stories about a variety of different things than anybody at the Post. And it's great having you on. Oscar, you had a question for Mark Fisher.
Mark,
as well.
I've mentioned on the show before, and you know, I've been a guy who went on record that I didn't think he would make it to the first debate, and now we're here, and he's the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. Do you think, regardless of the outcome of this this election, he still won? He still won as far as influence is concerned, the power he wields. He's whether he loses, he still technically won overall. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. He has changed the face of American politics, not just for this season, not just for this year, but for years to come. There's a historian at Harvard named Jill Lepore who wrote a terrific piece in The New Yorker a few weeks ago about how every couple of generations, the political parties in this country kind of change identities. You know, if you think back just to the 1960s, the Democrats were the party of Southern white racists, right? And, mm-hmm. and that flipped. And that kind of huge flip in what the parties stand for and who they are happens every, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And it looks like Donald Trump is going to be the reason it happens again. You can't conceive of the Republican Party coming out of this being exactly what they were a year ago. And the Democrats will have to react in similar fashion. So this is a sea change that he has started because he tapped into this deep sense of frustration and betrayal that Americans across party lines feel about the way their jobs have been shipped overseas, the way the promise of the middle class, the promise of mobility, all that seems to have collapsed, and neither party was doing anything about it. They weren't even talking about it. And along comes Donald Trump, and he just becomes the vessel for all of that frustration, and now the whole system has to adapt to that.
Before we let you go, I want to get back to the article that we were discussing with the tapes. In your article, I'll quote from it here. Some reporters found the calls from Miller or Barron, he used both John Barron and John Miller, disturbing or even creepy. Others thought they were just examples of Trump being playful. My question to you, Mark, do you think that Trump did this as a joke? Do you think there was a playful element to this, or was the narcissism so significant that he really thought that he was pulling one over on these reporters?
Yes to both.
Yes to both. Okay.
He's having, as you listen to that tape, you can't possibly conclude anything other than he's having a ball.
Yeah.
He's absolutely loving the hell out of it.
Right.
And he, there's almost, and what people who find it creepy point to is this John Miller going on about Donald Trump's sexual prowess and appeal. There's almost a phone sex quality to sitting there and talking about this, right? I mean, he is absolutely reveling in the description of how Madonna was interested in him and Carla Bruni was interested in him. And, of course, he's doing this through this alter ego, this other identity, and
right.
That's what gives it this weird quality.
Is there any proof at all that there is, I just have to ask this, is there any proof at all that there is a John Miller or a John Barron that was employed by the Trump organization?
There is a guy named John Miller in New York who was a TV reporter and then was the spokesman for the New York Police Department, but he has nothing to do with this John Miller.
Wow.
There's no prominent John Barron that we know of, but the name John Barron is actually a constant theme in Donald Trump's life, and a strange theme. He has had this fascination with the name Barron for decades.
Wow. That's what scares me. That's the kind of stuff that scares me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like everybody else. I am so fascinated. If you did my searches over the last year, you would find more for Donald Trump issues than anything else. I think I'm like a lot of Americans when I do that. But it's at the same time where I'm fascinated, I think a lot of people like me, I'm a little scared at the same time.
Well, you have
time
to understand what horrifies you. That helps diffuse it.
When I hear that John Barron thing, it's like, oh, he was fascinated with the name John Barron, and then he will call the Barron wing of the White House. It's just scary.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any pushback from the Trump people? I know he tends to do that with reporters.
Yeah, he actually tends to be very gracious and kind with reporters in private, and then smashes them to smithereens in public. So he has been cooperating with our biography. He has us back to his office time and again. He's very forthcoming when we ask him questions. He got upset about this John Miller thing and he hung up on our reporters, but he's been extremely cooperative. And then later the same day, he'll call some other paper and bash our project and our book to them. So he has this theory that he's had since he started off in business when he was under the tutelage of Roy Cohn, the famous New York lawyer.
Wow. God. Oh, that's right. I forgot he was under the tutelage of Roy. Anybody that's over the age of 50 knows who Roy Cohn is, and it's that. Just look him up. Google Roy Cohn, and you'll find out everything you need to find out. Go ahead.
Roy Cohn and Joe McCarthy, right? And one of the things that Cohn taught him was always attack, never defend. And his whole philosophy of dealing with the press is, first of all, there's no such thing as bad press. Anything, notoriety is just as good as praise. He will take it all and he will talk to anyone. On the other hand, he's kind of thin-skinned, and when he's criticized, he will lash out. You have both of those kind of conflicting forces going on at the same time.
Here's just a quick question. You referred to yourself as a crackerjack reporter. I got to know, on a personal level, how cool is it when a story that you're responsible for breaking is in the opening sketch of Saturday Night Live? Because news is news,
cool. But
when it becomes a part of Saturday Night Live, you are forever in pop culture.
That was very cool, yeah. And then, in fact, I was coming home that evening, and my wife said, we ought to watch Saturday Night Live. They have to be doing something about this. And, in fact, they did it in the opener, and then the first several jokes on the Weekend Update were about this. So that was certainly
That's so awesome. Cool. Congratulations.
And, last question for you, Mark. Are there any other stories that you're aware of in the on the campaign that are in the pipeline? As far, I know you're doing the bio on him, but you always hear campaigns saying, either with Hillary or with Trump, that, hey, we're holding on to something that's going to be a big mm-hmm. deal. And I think about his taxes. I think about the fact that he hasn't released the returns. Do you think there's something else, whether it's the taxes, whether it's something else that could be significant for the Teflon Donald?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that are coming out. We're not holding anything back. As soon as we find stuff out, we're putting it right in the paper, and we're working on a number of stories that'll be unfolding over the next few weeks that we hope to be able to get in that do deal with his finances and do deal with just how much money does he have now, for example, is, you know, I think a really important question since he's gone around saying he's this multi-billionaire. So we're looking into those issues and we'll be reporting about them. And I think there are, you know, significant questions on both candidates, and we're exploring all of that. So, you know, we do not hold stories back for dramatic impact, you know, at a later Got date it. Or anything mm-hmm. like that. When the story's nailed down, we run it.
And the last thing I'll ask you about is, because you've written a book about it, the state of radio. What's your feeling on the state of radio as it is today?
Well, we're on a podcast, and millions of people are listening to podcasts right now, and so there's turmoil, and there's all kinds of movement among different kinds of audio experiences. But clearly, people want to listen to something, whether they're in the car or you know, out for a run or whatever, and so. We're in this moment of, it's very similar to what's happening in print journalism. We're in this moment, or journalism at all, where there are many, many startups and lots of different options that people have, and that's great because the more choices and the more creative content out there, the better. But the business model part of it is still very much troubled, very much up in the air. And so for radio, for traditional broadcast radio, they're just seeing nothing but decline, just as we see in print magazines and print newspapers and so on, and no strong, easy-to-understand business model is coming up behind it. So instead, you're seeing people scrambling and scrapping because they know there's an audience, they know there's a tremendous passion and interest in the content, they just can't figure out how to get people to pay for it.
Well, Mark, I appreciate that. It's fascinating. Congratulations
Genius.
On the work you're doing.
Absolutely.
And really, we'd love, at some point down the road, love to get you on at least one more time before the election, if you can. And,
when he's promoting the book.
Yeah, come on with
when
the
you're
book.
Promoting the book. Please come on Absolutely. When you want to promote the book. We'd love that. Mark Fisher from The Washington Post, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it. That's Mark. And really, what great questions, guys. Just a lot of fun to talk about this. This just, even when he's talking about it seriously, I can't help but laugh. Have you ever seen anything like this? It's
no,
it's quality entertainment.
Also,
I don't know how the country's gonna do, but it's quality
I think
entertainment.
He said it best, a sea change. Yeah. He's won. He's yeah. won even yeah. if he loses, right?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
changed
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's changed the rules.
And he's sitting in an office with three helpers and he doesn't know what to do next.
And I think anybody that would underestimate him is insane at this point. It is gonna be fascinating to watch the summer play out,
mm-hmm.
But I'm still scared out of my mind.
Listen to the tapes. The tapes will make your day. And it's not
the tapes.
The tapes in itself. The tapes in themselves. And I'm listening. And you know how I feel about talking politics.
Sure.
But I am laughing.
Out loud.
I am laughing
out
loud.
Why we booked him on this show.
It is great.
Not fall into the same category as a regular political interview.
Great shtick.
Too funny.
If you listen to the tapes, if you go to WashingtonPost.com, they will actually, you know, where it's hard to understand, they put the subtitles in like on Honey Boo Boo. But the thing that is so great, the whole time it sounds like the spokesman is doing everything within his power not to say me. He said, and him. Yeah, I mean,
we'll put
really,
the link up.
Yeah,
that's great.
Great.
Well, Mark Fisher's a great interview. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's time to meet the new intern.
Yay!
We have another new intern. She sounds like a chatty one. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
My blood is rushing on. I don't need no reason. Don't be control.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Look at you. Constantly doing for others. How can a person be so selfless? Don't you think you deserve a little something for yourself? Hmm? A little something for YOU? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Little something for the man or the lady in the mirror? Huh?
Well,
you should subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. I don't know much about this, but I'm a spokesman for Mike O'Mara.
And what's your name? What's your name?
My name is Mike Miller. Mike suggests that each week you enjoy his sixth episode of the show. It's uncensored and commercial-free, and it can be yours. Mike would really like you to subscribe to the 2016 TMOS bonus package. You'll get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content. I don't know this, but I believe that Mike has been he's received awards for this bonus.
Yes, show. Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
It's award-winning, and you can look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages. Mike would really appreciate that. He'd never tell you how good it is, but it's fabulous. I'm told. It's really spectacular. It's very successful.
I hear Madonna loves the bonus package.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure if she loves the bonus packages as much as she loves Mike himself.
Oh.
But don't worry that the year is almost half over, because when you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. So whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click the bonus banner and get it done. The TMOS bonus package. Mike O'Mara says, order it today. You deserve it. Welcome back to the show. Great questions, you guys. I mean, really, always a pleasure to interview newsmakers with Rob and with Oscar, because they don't ask as many questions as I do. I kind of go for quantity, but then they pop a good quality one in there, and both your questions were great. Really fascinating. I mean, I'm just so ramped
up. He's great to talk to, and I had no idea he was writing the book.
Yeah,
and if the entire Post staff is behind it, that could be a deal breaker. That's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be fascinating to watch this, and then the New York Times came out, I guess, over the weekend with another story about Trump and the beauty pageant contestants. None of it matters.
No.
You heard a little of that with Mark Fisher, so, that it really doesn't. I don't.
So,
look,
but
will
should
get him
it,
elected president? Probably.
Should
not,
it matter? Know. I mean, really, as far as.
Yeah, oh, I see that. That as far as certain elements of it, as far as. I'll tell you when it shouldn't matter. If he was doing it purely as a ruse, as a gag.
Right.
And even with not doing it as a gag, what he talks about, you've listened to the tapes and I've listened to the tapes. Yeah, he's kind of talking about women, and he's talking
it's
about...
It's not shocking, though. It's funny. It's like this guy is...
It doesn't... My answer to you is, does it matter? It doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump.
No.
And that's why it never became a story. It matters if it's the Republican nominee for president.
But if it was... Okay, look. We'll put things in perspective here, right? If this was Bill Clinton and I heard a tape like that as a young Bill Clinton being his own PR guy, I would be laughing in the same manner.
You'd
and
be laughing in the same pot. Yes. And probably back in that election cycle, he'd be done.
Well,
it'd be all over. I don't think he'd survive it.
The deck was stacked against him after the fair, right?
Yeah.
Right.
In office. That was actually after he was like, I'm saying if that happened and he was running for president and say he was the nominee, that might sidetrack.
Well,
I just don't.
But then he got through Jennifer Flowers, no problem.
He did. But you also have to. I don't think anybody has survived more scandals
and
more controversial things right now.
Because the people that are in office now across the board, neither party, Americans and the disenfranchised, he mentioned it, the mobility of the middle class,
right?
They're so pissed because the government shuts down, the city shuts down on such a regular basis, it seems like, they'll take something over nothing.
That's true, and we'll have to keep posted on it.
But this is also a brand new, you can't even call it a scandal as much as you call it just a wrinkle, and it's a facet we've never
seen.
It's something we've never seen before.
I think this particular story, and the reason I wanted to get Mark Fisher on, I've become so desensitized that I probably don't even think about it the way I used to. But occasionally late at night when I really relax, it's scary. There's a fear element to it because I think about dark things with this guy as far as, and when he says the word, there are two words that scare me. When he talks about thin skinned, I think all politicians probably behind the scenes are thin skinned. You don't hear about it. Trump's is a lot more out there, and it makes me wonder what he would be capable of behind the scenes, the stuff that we wouldn't even know in the public.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean.
Will we survive Tricky Dick?
And Tricky Dick, you never knew any of that was going. A very super thin-skinned. You think about, you know, but you heard Mark Fisher say, listen to some of the things Mark Fisher says. And as much as the people that hate Donald Trump will not like me saying this, you hear the fact that they break a story like that, and the odds are that Mark Fisher will probably be involved in another interview with Donald Trump.
Yep.
So how thin-skinned is that? You know, it's not like
it's the same DNA.
He gets pissed off at Megyn Kelly. They have a little bit. It's just weird.
You know, it's the same thin-skinnedness, if that's such a word. That
not a word.
It's not a word. But it's the same thing that keeps him, you know, having those behind-the-scene interviews and then thrashing out. That's the same thing that drove him to be his own PR guy. You know, right. He wants to be, he wants to, even behind the scenes, more importantly than outwardly, he wants to appear a good guy.
It was probably a lot more prevalent in the 80s when there wasn't, you could just email something in, right?
Right.
And say, this is the press release.
On a modem.
Right.
Here you go.
Oh, by the way, speaking of press release, get the release out from the Mike O'Mara show. There was news in that interview. I'm not sure if you... Do you remember when he categorically denied...
Already yes. On top of it, Mike. A text
categorically
been sent out.
Denied that it was... that the...
Trump people.
The Trump people were the source. Mark Fisher just categorically denied that. And when you've got the person who provided the tape originally, Susan Carswell, coming out and theorizing that it might have been Donald Trump, I think that might keep, you know, the Mike O'Mara show doing its little bit to keep the news cycle alive.
I believe, though, what I think is true gold out of all of this is that these layers, right, to the story, they're writing a book.
Yeah.
And think from a business aspect, they're writing the book and then releasing the stories as they find them, as Mark said. And it just keeps giving the paper material as they're pushing towards the book.
Yep.
Well, and that is another thing that has changed in this dynamic. No, you know, the worst thing I believe now that you can do for a candidate is to withhold coverage. And that means coverage of anything.
Any sort.
I believe.
Well, because someone else is going to get that story and beat them to punch.
Somebody's going to get that story. But they were talking about the fact that, you know, the attack. Yeah, Roy Cohn. Look, all you need to know, look up Roy Cohn and find out his playbook.
I'm trying to remember, Mike. Was he a good guy?
He was a super guy. He was a champ.
Superb, right?
He was a real pip. But anyway, that's great.
People's
good. I'd love to get more of that. That's so much fun. Let's meet our brand new intern. Rob, you're the intern guru, so you have at it. Go ahead.
All right. She is a part-time senior at George Mason University, and she is joining us today for her first in-studio visit after her series of stringent interviews. Mike, this is Brittany.
How many interviews did you go through, Brittany?
Oh, like a million.
We thoroughly vet our interns.
Yeah.
Of course, of course.
Not at all.
We did get a call from her spokesperson.
Right. Yeah.
Brittany, so you are what is a part-time senior? Tell me about that.
Part-time senior. So I go to school part-time and work full-time. So technically I am a senior. I can finish it in full-time, but because I work too much and I got a lot of things going on, I consider myself the part-time senior.
And you're majoring in communications.
Majoring in communications, concentration in media criticism and production, and minoring in business.
Have you had a chance to meet some of our other interns like Mac or Diego?
I met Diego today, yes.
Oh, Diego's in studio today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What kind of vibe did you get from Diego? First day.
What kind of vibe?
Yeah. Was he trying to hit on you, sell you drugs?
I mean, he already started making fun of me because I was taking notes.
You know what, Diego? You know what, Diego? Maybe if you took a note or two, your star might brighten a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to take a note or two. I wouldn't mock young Brittany for taking notes, Diego.
Yeah, sometimes little pieces of paper are for writing on, not rolling up.
I didn't even use paper. I was on my phone. I was like, God, I hope they don't think I'm texting. Like,
modern.
I'm writing my notes in my notes channel on my phone.
Notes channel, Mike.
Yeah, channel.
I like that awareness of not texting, because that is a very, very bad offense when you're in one of your electronic devices while the show is going on. We don't care for that. So let me ask some of the personal questions about you. Do you live at home, Brittany?
I do live at home. I am one of those students that live with their parents.
A millennial, a true millennial.
I live in the basement.
Has nice. Anybody, is there anybody in your local Northern Virginia girl, has anybody in your family ever been aware of the Mike O'Mara show or the Don and Mike show or any of those shows at all?
No.
No.
So
no.
You are brand new. You're
next
brand
time
new
you
to
lie
all
to
of
us.
This.
Yes.
No, I like the honesty, Oscar.
No,
I mean, the honesty.
I just bought my mom an iPhone. So.
Oh, that's yeah. sweet. Yeah. Isn't that nice
that's,
of you?
That's, yeah. that's wonderful.
Oh, thanks,
that's
guys. Wonderful. Thanks.
What are your goals? What are your goals in broadcasting? What do you want to, or communications? What do you see yourself doing? Everybody, especially at your stage of the game, kind of has a vision for what they'd like to do with their careers.
Oh, to take over your show.
Oh, whoa. Whoa. That's what, Mike, hey, you think she's kidding.
Younger,
you think she's kidding, Mike.
Oh, no, I think she's probably. No, she's very, you know, very aggressive.
Yeah. Give it a couple years.
No, I plan on going on air for broadcasting. It's really hard to get into. I've tried applying at many places.
That's why you're here.
I know, right? So this is why I'm here, to give an impression, you know, and then to learn from you guys, to, you know, take from your sources.
A little less you-knows.
You know.
Yes. I'm just saying we're going to teach her how to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're going to teach me because apparently I don't know enough. So they're going to teach me. I'm going to...
We're
going to
foster your growth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Brittany doing a man on the street. I like that.
You like that? Oh, yeah. Well, look,
I like
she,
having
she's
our
not shy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can I get your attention? I need to ask you questions.
Look
what
at
you,
that.
What you should do, Brittany, if you have a chance, is get into your phone after the show and set a, you know, the timer function.
Yeah.
Set it for 10 minutes to count down and see if in that period of time you get a friend request on Facebook from Diego.
Now, the it's thing coming. About it is that, and this is really only in the last year or so that we have really welcomed kind of the creative content from our interns,
yes.
and it's been kind of a regular thing we're doing, and I think Brittany would be very capable of doing something
100%.
Like that.
100%. Oh, well, thank you.
Let's see what's in that noggin of yours.
We've tried it with Diego. It kind of didn't work, but I mean,
oh,
the fact
Diego.
Is that yeah, it's,
well, he was derailed.
I enjoyed it,
but Diego's. I'm glad you enjoy it, Pony. That's very sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at Pony.
Yeah.
Look at Pony doing that.
Wait, can we discuss how the nickname Pony came about?
We can.
Yeah, on your time, not our time.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
You know, I had a little moment.
Yeah, I'll just buy you a cup of coffee. We'll sit down.
There you go. Okay, turn your microphone off now.
Yeah,
all right, thank you very much. That's Brittany, ladies and gentlemen, from George Mason University. She's very confident.
Yes,
very, very, very confident. Yeah.
Remember what I said to her before the show, Mike?
Yeah.
Speak when spoken to.
Mike,
speak when
spoken to. The password is wild card.
Wild card. Yeah, we got one. We got a wild card in here. Hey, Brittany,
which is good.
Anything,
which is mm-hmm. good.
Brittany, anything that happens in your world that you think is worthy of content, you're free to bring that to Mr. Spiewak and Mr. Santana. And who knows? We love getting as much content as we can. And interns are fun. That's the way I look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Microphone
anyway,
off.
Anyway, what's that?
Microphone off.
Thank you. All right. We will take a break and come back with more fun. The news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, if you guys would love to see us, Rob and Joe, perform stand-up comedy, we have a great deal for you.
That's right. Go to the Rob and Joe Show webpage, robandjoeshow.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner.
And type in the promo code Mermelstein. We'll see you soon. RobinJoeShow.com, the TMOS app, and of course, subscribe on iTunes.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
All right, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Stamps.com. There has got to be a better way to mail and ship stuff. Going to the post office takes up way too much time, and leasing a postage meter is way too expensive. Well, it turns out there is a better way. It's Stamps.com, the better way to buy postage. With Stamps.com, use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage. We love Stamps.com, and you will love it as well. You'll even get special postage discounts that you can't get at the post office. We've used Stamps.com for years. We adore it. It saves you time. It saves you money. Right now, you can use our code TMOS for this special offer. Listen to this. It's a 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage from your own desk. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again, and we want to thank them for their business.
News.
A weather girl in Los Angeles named Liberté Chan.
Woo.
I saw this video today. I rarely put something that's been on the morning news cycle on this show, but I thought it was fascinating. She wore a black cocktail dress for her weather report on Saturday morning, and the station started getting emails from people who thought it was too skimpy. Now, by the way, I saw the video. It was not too skimpy.
It wasn't.
It was a regular cocktail dress.
LIBERTE.
Thank you.
Liberty Chan.
Someone reached in from off camera and handed her a sweater in the middle of her report. Then people started emailing because they were offended by that. That would be me if I was going to email.
Yeah.
They felt like she was being shamed on live TV. For what it's worth, she says she wasn't offended by any of it, and it was actually her backup dress. That's kind of interesting. Like to-
Do you have one?
Why don't we call Mark Fisher, tell him to get right on that story.
The backup dress story?
Yeah.
It'll be in the book.
Said she was going to wear a different one, but didn't think it looked good on camera. I mean, the dress looked nice, but it's like... You know, that doesn't that fall into that whole bathroom issue where people
where
get
was
too
this?
Uptight? KTLA. Was a,
but what, KTLA. What city?
Los Angeles.
KTLA, that would be indicative of the fact that it was an LA
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the picture. If you look at Latin television, any yeah. network,
oh, I know.
Any network whatsoever, and if people were offended by this dress in Los Angeles,
right.
I am shocked.
Yeah,
absolutely
ridiculous.
Shocked.
Yeah, very, very strange. But
and they put a grandmother sweater on her.
Yeah, I know.
And I'd love to know who handed her the sweater. That was just a little weird.
It was Beth Ann, Mike.
Yeah, spend some time on Telemundo or Univision, and you'll be offended.
Oscar, you watched The Wire, right? Didn't
of course,
you watch The Wire?
Every season.
Wendell Pierce is famous for playing Bunk.
Oh,
Wire.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, famous. One of the most favorite characters on the show.
And he also played Clarence Thomas in the HBO Confirmation series that was there. He was arrested in Atlanta on Saturday night, allegedly for attacking a Bernie Sanders supporter. That's according to TMZ. A source told TMZ that Pierce was talking to a couple at the Lowe's Hotel sometime around 3:30 a.m. Okay. That's when you get into nothing good happens after midnight, Wendell.
That's true, Wendell.
Pierce is an outspoken Hillary Clinton supporter. He reportedly got angry with the woman when she announced that she was a fan of Sanders. Things escalated, and Pierce ended up pushing the man and grabbing the woman's hair and hitting her in the head.
Oh, no.
Pierce was arrested, charged with battery, but was released after posting a $1,000 bond. Nothing's going to happen good at 3:30 in the morning. Ain't
no.
going to happen,
What's
Wendell
he doing
Pierce.
Up that early in the morning, Mike?
Right on the heels of Clarence Thomas.
I know. Yes, I believe that's the other side. Anyway, it has been 6 months since Lamar Odom overdosed on drugs. And our good friend, the owner of the establishment where the former NBA star nearly lost his life, thinks it's about time that Odom returned for a visit.
Oh, good.
Yes, Dennis Hoff is in the news again.
Dennis.
Dennis.
He's the owner. Dennis. He's the owner of the Love Ranch in Nevada, and he's invited Odom back to his brothel and offered him complimentary services.
Do you know that brothel is really just a gross word?
It's
just the way you
word.
Say it, brothel.
Well, you know,
get
sorry to be a prude. Gross word, gross place.
True enough.
Anyway, here's the quote. First night and two girls are on me.
Oh.
Plus all the Remy Literally. Martin you can drink, he told TMZ. Now, Dennis, you know, I look, Dennis is an interesting interview. He's been very funny and kind to the show.
Yeah.
But that perhaps is not the best offer
John
right
Barron
now.
Used to work for him.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Hoff has clearly come a long way from threatening to sue Khloe Kardashian for all the money Odom owed him, while Odom was said to have been drinking very heavily before being rushed to the hospital. Hoff says it was drug use, not sex and alcohol, that was the issue. Hoff promised to ensure Odom's privacy this time by shutting down all security cameras. Now, that's not a smart thing to do.
No.
And collecting cell phones. He also wants to remind Odom how much the people of the Love Ranch care about him.
And is he still making his Dennis Hoff sauce?
I have no idea.
Good luck with that. That looks tasty.
There's a hair in my sauce.
Oh.
Anyway, don't forget the people who work here are the ones who saved his life, Hoff said. We truly care about him. Dennis, you are an interesting guy.
He is.
Tough.
Absolutely.
He won already. Well, again, like Trump, he won when Odom survived, right?
Yes, he won when Odom survived. Yes. I don't necessarily want to book Mr. Hoff on this story. Let's wait down the road.
All right, well, we'll put it on the wait and see file.
He'd be a little easier to get on the show than Mark Fisher.
He's probably on hold right now.
The Hollywood Reporter reports that Shia LaBeouf has signed on to play. This is a good casting job here. The explosive tennis bad boy John McEnroe in the upcoming film.
Oh, yeah.
Borg McEnroe, Swedish star Sverre Gudnason has been cast as McEnroe's famous rival, Bjorn Borg, opposing him. The film is set to explore the rivalry between the two that spanned the 70s and 80s. And John McEnroe is known as a bit of a loose cannon in the world of tennis, while Borg was the polar opposite, kind of a Swedish guy, very mellow, very
stoic.
Cool. LaBeouf is perhaps the best possible casting for McEnroe, and we're sure that this will be he'll dive into the role. I'd love to see him. I think that's great casting. That's
I hope he uses some of his crazy in the role, because the man is out of his mind.
You heard Rob Spiewak said, Shia, use some of your crazy for good. These people had good intentions but awful common sense. A father and son were visiting Yellowstone National Park last week and spotted a baby bison. But the temperature was down in the 30s, and they were worried that he would freeze. So they grabbed the buffalo, put him in their SUV, and drove over to the ranger station. Duh. The rangers had to explain that bison can handle cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Duh. And gave them a ticket for interfering with wildlife. Come on, Dad. Put the bison in the SUV. What are you thinking? Come on, you moron. And now a little something-something. Bear with me. I'm reading this story just to get to the kicker.
Understood.
I hope I discipline myself. I had a late night Saturday that might have kicked into today's show. So this was the silly in me. A 28-year-old woman named Rachel Trevor from Memphis, Tennessee, is a flight attendant for Delta, and she was busted for stealing little airplane bottles of booze after her flights. She got caught in November, but the story just came out now. We're talking about a lot of liquor bottles. Apparently, Rachel stole almost 1,500 little bottles of vodka, rum, gin, and whiskey.
No. Wow.
She would steal them 50 at a time. That's quite a bit. And when she'd get home, she would sell them on Craigslist for $1 each. But the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission eventually caught on and busted her. So she was charged with theft of property of over $10,000. Unlawful sale of alcohol and unauthorized transportation of alcohol. Now she's looking at anywhere from 3 to 15 years in prison. Can
wow.
you believe that?
$10,000?
Yeah. Now, just for stealing those teeny, teeny little bottles.
Little guys. Mm-hmm.
It took a little time to close this case because the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission had to find an agent who was also a dwarf. My apologies to little people. I'm very
sorry. Hey, but you made it.
Mm-hmm.
Great discipline, Mike.
You made it.
We will take a break. Come back with more. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Nice.
Do you talk C++?
Mm-hmm. Do I?
Can you tell me I didn't port 25 and fake an email?
Can I?
Do you like to surf the back plane of a router?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
I
do.
Have you ever hex edited your way to a registered version?
Sounds sexy.
We're not going to be talking about any of those things, but what will we be talking about, Oscar?
It's technology and the way it affects your life.
A lot of entertainment.
We're combining a lot of entertainment. It's going to be a good time. This is not your father's tech show.
That's right.
Tech 411 Show, available on the More Broadcasting Network and on iTunes.
That means it's good, so please check it out.
I saw Todd on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, if you're into VR, he has his first VR game ready to go.
Virtual reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love Tech 411. You can learn everything about tech. And occasionally, Oscar and Todd will have a cocktail or two, and it's fun to listen to. You know?
Yes.
Make out.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Without further ado, let's open up Rob's audio vault, ladies and gentlemen. Brought to you by Tracker. We all live in an era of smart cars, smart phones, smart homes. Technology has made everything smart. That is until you lose something, you moron.
That's right, you moron.
I'm terribly sorry. I shouldn't have put it that way. You lose something and it makes a smart person feel stupid. But losing things is now a thing of the past thanks to Tracker. Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers. Rob even put one on his dog's collar.
It's great because I can never find his collar, and now I always know where it is, right on my phone.
It is so simple to use. You pair it with your smartphone, attach it to anything, and you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. And if you lose your phone, you press a little button on the tracker device, and your phone will ring even when it's on silent, people. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS in the world, so your lost item will show up up on a map, even if it's miles away. Never lose anything again thanks to Tracker. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's T-H-E-Tracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com now and use the code TMOS for 30% off. That's thetracker.com, code TMOS. Let's get right to the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak. Take it away.
You know, Mike, I wrote it on Facebook on Friday. Things just haven't been the same since Michael Strahan has left Live. Don't you just feel the void in the entertainment world?
Absolutely. It's horrible.
I love the fact that the show is so well run that when he did his goodbye on Friday, he ran over and they had to play him off with music like they do on an awards show. It's not the best written goodbye I've ever heard, but since I know many of you were busy.
Can I make a point?
Yes, please do.
He was on the show for 4 years, okay? Mm-hmm. Lick it. He's leaving. You know, that's nothing. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's true.
I mean, I know it's TV and it's their little sweetie, lovey-dovey thing, but it's 4 years.
Well, it's only something because Ripa made it something.
Yeah, well, I think the producers and Rip. Oh, you mean as far as when she walked up?
Yeah.
There you are. Hit the alarm again.
Notice
he blames the chick. He blames the chick in that situation.
If she would have played along, no big deal.
But listen to this. You would think that he's ending the Ed Sullivan
show. See you later.
Show. This is a Michael Strahan saying goodbye on Friday's episode of Live.
I didn't know what to expect coming from sports to daytime television. And you guys open up your hearts to me and you open up your homes to me. And it's been so overwhelming with the response that we've had over the last 4 years that you guys have loved this show. And it means the world that you give us an hour of your day. And what you don't realize, we get more from that hour than you really do.
What?
And we sit in front of a live audience who I always say during our commercial break, they are the third co-host of the show. The energy that they bring really makes this show work. And it is not about myself. It's not about you. It's about everybody here. We have incredible staff here. We have from the producers to the staff to the crew. They make sure we're always prepared that we can come out here and put on a great show for you guys. And I got to say, we love you. We appreciate you. I love you.
Wrap it up, Strahan. Anyway, that's how that ended.
Mike, you remember when Buzz quit the show twice and we didn't make it a big deal?
You move forward.
You do.
You have to do that. You know, you just do that. I love the casting of Anderson Cooper. If he would be able to
do CNN
and also go over there. I think Anderson Cooper works well. Great energy with her. I'd watch the show. If
better hours
Anderson
for him,
Cooper.
I imagine.
Yeah, I would think so. Last night, The Simpsons, the plot was, and The Simpsons are winding up their 27th season. Can you believe that?
Wow.
27 years. That's like Gunsmoke numbers. The plot last night is that Homer was working on his improv skills. So the last 3 minutes of the show were actually Homer fielding live questions. And they used motion capture so that he could actually do it live. And so it was Homer sitting at a desk. And I do believe it was live because the phone calls went so badly, just like any radio show. But this is the open and a genuine, you know, I love a show that's been on 27 years, can still make me laugh out loud.
Hello. I've gathered you here because I have an important announcement. This is the last episode of The Simpsons. It's been a great run. Just kidding. The Simpsons will never end. Now I've told you two lies. And to prove that we're live, on Saturday Night Live, last night, Drake was terrible.
He was. I saw him perform. I said, what is he doing?
It was bad.
He know that he's performing in front of millions of people?
Well, what was so terrible about the performance? What did he do?
It was no energy, even though the song was low tempo, right?
Right.
And they have this. On Saturday Night Live, they have these. You can either the stage or you have your solo performance box.
Yeah,
right?
It's like almost seriously like a light cube.
It's a cube, yes.
Right.
A light box that you would put a person and sell on eBay. No, but you put a person in and show the world as they perform. And in the box, the low tempo. I said, I didn't know if he was high. I didn't know if the monitor was wrong, but he was just talking into the mic.
It was pretty consistent every time he was on in a sketch or anything.
Yeah.
Although, Mike, if you want to look at it online, pretty good of the pretty good sketch with the man who has the body of a baby. So that always makes
that
me think of you.
That
was good.
That. Oh, by the way, the Trump bit at the beginning, even though they mentioned the story we spotlighted today on the show,
right?
I didn't think that. I think that was a missed opportunity.
They should have gone in another direction.
Could have been better.
I think the Moynihan Christie thing is old news, and I don't know. I just I always get the impression Daryl Hammond doesn't want to be there,
phoning it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the got the cushiest gig. He's the announcer now. All he has to do is show up and sit in a booth, and they keep trying to put him in there. It was another weak effort.
I haven't watched in 2 months.
2016 GLAAD Media Awards. I believe it is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for Anti-Defamation. And it was they spotlighted all the people that have made great strides for their organization. Robert De Niro was on, and he thanked Jennifer Lawrence.
Robert De Niro is gay?
No. He was just featured. And it was an oddly worded thank you.
Thank you, Jen. If I were a lesbian, I'd be all over you. Being a father figure has its limitations.
Wasn't it better when Robert De Niro was sort of quiet and behind the scenes and didn't do stuff like that? You know, what happened to his mystique?
Look at the movies he's made.
I know.
If you look at De Niro's filmography... Look at his filmography over the last 10 years.
You know,
that's all you need to do.
Mike, there was a certain flip of the switch that I can tell you with two words. Analyze that.
Yep.
And that
absolutely
is your Magic Audio Vault.
Oh, wait, I got to open that up. I didn't know you were going to finish it with that. I'm so sorry. I'm going there right now. Sorry.
And have a great Monday, everybody. And Robert De Niro was on the awards, and it was swell.
You caught me completely by surprise.
My apologies.
Mike, this is the end of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's good. Sir. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Great. Way to cover, boys. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with our show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your Wednesday birthday greeting or your letter into the mailbag, we'll do it on Thursday. Send it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And don't forget to take our survey. Click the banner ad at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We want to thank our new intern, Brittany, for coming on the show today. It was very nice having you on.
Thank you for having me.
And we hope you have a good time working on the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Good day.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.